Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. Today our guest is Lawrence Block, this is a return visit for Mr. Block, and we'll be discussing his new novel published by Morrow titled Hit Parade, a John Keller novel. And first of all, Larry, thanks so much for taking time out of a busy schedule to talk with us.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Larry, with Hit Parade, John Keller makes his return. And when I sat down and read it and then reread it, one of the things I really like about Hit Parade is we really find out a little bit more about Keller and what makes him tick. There's a little bit of background about his mother. And what are you happiest about with Hit Parade, with Keller, that you feel advanced the stories from the first couple books about Keller?
Well, you're right. We do find out a little bit more, and that just seemed to flow out of the stories. I didn't have the intention of investigating Keller's background, his backstory, to any real degree, because I'm not that aware of it. I just find out things as they come up. And in the one basketball story, it just seemed to fit in. And we've had references to his mother before in other books, and had some sense of that particular childhood that he had. And this just seemed to fit right in and enlarge the story some. So I was quite happy with how that worked out.
Mm-hmm. And I think Keller's relationship with Dot is fleshed out a little bit more in Hit Parade. And I was kind of thinking she's kind of become a Miss Moneypenny almost to Keller. And I think she has more of a role in Hit Parade than she has in the past. And it seems that this is you being a New Yorker through and through, that some of the things that happened on 9/11 resonate a little bit in Hit Parade, and I'm starting to see that happen in a few books. And were you conscious of that, Larry, when you were writing this book?
Yeah, sure. Very much so.
And it seems like Keller needs somebody to talk to. And in the past, that has led to some kind of difficult situations for him when he's sought help through talking to professionals, whatever. And it seems like in this book, Dot assumes that role. And I really like the role that Dot plays in this novel.
Yeah, well, Dot has always been a confidant. They've always had an interesting relationship, I think. And, of course, in this book, Keller finds the perfect other confidant when he's out on the job and needs someone to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Keller, his collecting of stamps is very fascinating, and I think a lot of collectors collect your work, so you probably know more about collecting than the average author who writes. And there's something about the mentality of a collector. If you read about Keller's passion for stamp collecting, and you're not a collector, it might go over your head a little bit. But if you're a collector, you understand exactly why he needs the Martinique number 2 stamp.
Right. Well, I get a fair amount of correspondence from stamp collectors who enjoy the Keller books and who appreciate the fact that for a change the writer is getting it right, which is natural enough because I do have a background in stamp collecting.
Oh, okay. Okay. And one of the things that I like about Hit Parade as well is that a lot of us are aging, which is the natural process, and Keller's pondering retirement, and some of the discussions he has with Dot are, I was laughing out loud, they're very humorous, but at the same time there's a serious side to it, because doing what Keller does is kind of a hard thing to retire from. But he does, there's a section called Proactive Keller where he kind of almost becomes a businessman for a little bit, because he has kind of a number that he wants to achieve so that he can kind of relax.
Right. Right. He does indeed. And he makes the point that that he can't just go into some other line of work that there's nothing which he's qualified for, and he can't start clerking at a 7-Eleven. It's just not going to work for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he also begins to question. He's been so passionate about his stamp collecting, and I know a lot of book collectors that they really do become part of your family, and you start saying, what's going to happen to them if I'm not around? And again, this is something that other people might take lightly, but people are very concerned about what are going to happen to the things they've collected, because they're kind of like part of their family.
Well, I don't know if he feels about it quite that way. You're referring to where he has a discussion with Dodd about what she should do with the stamps if anything happens to him.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's concerned about the stamps, but just that the value will be realized and that it'll go to her and all of that. But he's starting to think about things he perhaps hasn't thought about in previous work.
Mm-hmm. And I really like, and we're not going to give anything away in the story, but towards the end of the book, there are a couple very short chapters, which I really enjoyed, because that's part of the art, is Keller has been, you've experimented with different lengths with Keller, from short stories to novels to what in Hit Parade, you have some very short sequences, and I think that adds a texture to the writing that makes Hit Parade a little bit different maybe than the other Keller books.
Well, thank you. It's hard for me to tell to what extent it's different, to what extent it's more of the same. But thanks.
Yeah, Larry. The All the Flowers Are Dying is now available in paperback, and I've never done this before, but I'd like to dedicate this interview to Richard Kitchen, who was a close friend of mine, an acquaintance of yours. He died with his boots on. And was probably one of the best Matt Scudder fans I ever met. And first of all, I recommend everybody go out and get All the Flowers Are Dying in paperback. If you didn't read it in hardcover, it's a very nice edition. And where do you stand with Scudder now? Is that that still, the last time we talked, you said you felt that was the last one?
I still suspect that's the case. You know, I've been wrong about that in the past, so I never make pronunciamentos in that regard. But it seems to me that the story is pretty much complete at this point, and that Scudder now deserves retirement.
Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. When Dick finished that book, he looked at me and he said, "Casey, I think this is the last Scudder novel." And then Dick died a couple months after that.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I just wanted to mention Dick because he probably was, I think a lot of people find your work and tell other people about it. And that's a key part of the communication and selling process of books, is somebody reading a book and saying, "Hey, I just read 8 Million Ways to Die and you've got to read it." And I think Dick probably introduced more people to 8 Million Ways to Die than any bookstore in the United States.
Is that right?
Yeah. Larry, some of the things you're working on now, I read where you're working on a screenplay, My Blueberry Nights. Is that what you're currently involved on right now?
Yes, that's in production right now. They're shooting it. Last I heard, they were on location in Nevada.
Okay. And
that's directed by Wong Kar-wai, the Hong Kong director, and it's his first English-language film.
Yeah, and he
stars Nora Jones, and along with Rachel Weisz, Jude Law, and Natalie Portman. So it should be quite a film.
Yeah, and when I was doing a little research on his background, it said that he uses a non-linear style of storytelling, and that he was inspired by the Argentinian writer Manuel Puig's novel, The Buenos Aires Affair. And have you worked pretty closely with him on the writing of the screenplay, and were you guys on the same page as far as, because that sounds like a pretty demanding style of writing?
Well, he hasn't really worked with scripts in the past. He's never worked with a writer before, and he's written his own material and sort of amounted to telling the actors what he wanted them to do each day before they did it. So this is quite different because, you know, what I did, of course, is I wrote a script. Now, and I'm working with him now periodically. He'll send me a section to polish or he'll ask for additional scenes on that. How close the film that he makes winds up to what was on the page is anybody's guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Kawai is a brilliant filmmaker, and his films are beautiful, and we know that everybody in this one is going to look good. Of course, when you've got actors like that, they're going to look pretty good no matter who shoots them.
Exactly. Exactly. That's great. Larry, I also know the Crime Club series, which has been reintroduced. What titles do you have on that label? Is it Hard Case?
Hard Case Crime?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a new operation run by a young man named Charles Ardai, and mostly consisting of reprinting noir books of the past. And he's done two of mine so far. He's got Grifter's Game and The Girl with the Long Green Heart, and we've got one or two more scheduled. I've been unearthing books of mine that I wrote under a pen name that are actually crime novels, and that have vanished without a trace long ago. And he's bringing out one called Lucky at Cards. That'll be the next book from Hard Case. And we have some others waiting in the wings.
Oh, that's great. And he did Stephen King's Colorado Kid.
Right.
And I really would like the listeners to get behind that series because I think he's doing great things. Because when I look at the covers, and all you have to do is go into the bookstore, look for Lawrence Block, and find the titles, and you'll see it's that classic 50s, 60s John D. McDonald, Mickey Spillane cover. And I'm so glad that he's redoing these because they deserve to stay in print. They deserve to be read. And I think he's doing a great thing for readers by reissuing these.
Well, I'm certainly pleased, and you know, his edition of Girl with a Long Green Heart attracted the interest of a TV producer, so it looks as though that may turn into a series.
Oh, wonderful.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah. And Larry, at this point, what is your favorite genre to work in right now? Film, TV, novels, or are you just kind of open to whatever project piques your interest at this point?
Well, you know, Casey, at this point in life, the less work that I have to do, the better I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not that excited about anything that requires writing. But I have been enjoying doing screenplays lately, so I may be doing more of those. I'm not sure.
Okay. And we're visiting with Lawrence Block today, and we're discussing Hit Parade, published by Morrow, which is a John Keller novel, and also All the Flowers Are Dying is available in a nice trade paperback. And Larry, I wouldn't want to not talk to you without finding about some of the travels you've done lately. What interesting traveling have you done?
A lot less lately. We had a trip about a year ago to Mongolia that didn't go all that well, and it sort of put us off travel for a bit. So we've been staying closer to home lately.
Okay, and so New York City has been more of the source of your amusements these days.
That's right.
Good. Well, Larry, thank you so much for taking time out of a busy schedule, and I know all of your fans will enjoy Hit Parade. I look forward to my Blueberry Nights when it comes out, because when you name the cast of characters in the movie, that's kind of a who's who of people that are 20 or 30 years old who they want to see on the screen, I would think. So I wish you the greatest success with that as well.
Well, thank you very much.
And we'll get caught up down the road when the next book comes out.
Terrific. Very good, Casey.
Great. Thanks, Larry.
Sure.